Check, hello friends. I sent to Elis Network and Dreamcatcher co-host invitation. So accept this invite. We will wait for several minutes while other people will join our Twitter space. Check your microphones.
Check. Looks very good.
Yes, great. I hear you. Let's wait for the several minutes that everyone join our Twitter space.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you very well.
All right. How are you doing today?
Yes, very nice. This is already my third meet for this day, and maybe not the last, but it's very interesting. So many things happens in the Cosmos ecosystem. Welcome new listeners. So I think we'll wait 2 minutes more, and in 5 minutes, in 17:05 UTC, we will start. People always a little bit late, never at the time, but this is the specific of all online meets. So friends, let's start our Twitter space with Elis Network. I hope I pronounce it right way.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes, very good. So, friends, this is very nice that even at the bear market, when the all crypto goes down, the Cosmos ecosystem don't stop to develop, and even new networks are arrived. And it will be very interesting to know more about Elis Network and the main idea of the Elis Network. Can you tell us more about it?
Absolutely. Thank you for hosting this space today. Really appreciate you taking the time to set this up with us. And hopefully, as we get more listeners joining in throughout the space, or they're able to listen to the recording afterwards, hopefully they'll get a chance to learn more about Elis Network. And we'll obviously have time. We'll try to make some time for a Q&A session. So if anybody has questions at the end, or if anyone wants to drop some questions on our Discord, feel free to join our Discord and drop your questions in the general chat there. And of course, we're always available here on Twitter. So to give you an update on, or an overview on Elis Network itself, we were born out of the desire to really take DeFi to the next level. You know, when you think about just how quickly DeFi has grown, you know, since essentially this transition to Web3 started, we went from basically 7,000 DeFi users in the late teens to now almost 7 million DeFi users this year. So you can see that the rapid acceleration, rapid growth in DeFi usage. And the problems that we've seen along the way are that DeFi platforms are very difficult to use. They're still in their infancy. Decentralized exchanges specifically still create a lot of problems from the user experience or the user interface perspective. And so we came together to try to solve this problem and create the premier user interface, user experience in the Cosmos ecosystem. We're very grateful to those who set the stage for us, you know, over the course of the last few years. You know, obviously, you know, without exchanges like Osmosis, you know, that brought the users in the first place, we wouldn't even be here. So we do appreciate those that came before us but we recognize kind of the pitfalls that are in place today. So to give an idea of what makes Atlas Network different, we decided to start from the bottom up. So we have a completely fresh code base of Cosmos SDK that we started with. And we decided that instead of using the standard models that are out there where you use your own token for your base pairs, we decided that we would not use our LS token for our liquidity pools. We decided that it made more sense to use something more stable like a stable coin. So we opted to go with USDC. So you'll find that in our pools, not only do we use USDC as our pair token for our liquidity pools, but we've also added another feature called the molecules, which means that you can have more than just one asset paired. You can have two, three, four, five, or even more assets. So to give an example, you could have a large cap molecule pool that would include Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Atom, along with USDC. So those types of features that we're going to be including in our DeFi platform are designed to include the entire range of risk tolerances. So we'll have something as low risk or conservative as USDC deposits, where a user can just earn a small yield by taking very minimal risk, all the way up to our most aggressive, highest risk, which would be your margin trading or somewhere along the way, your leveraged liquidity pools. So we're trying to provide something for everybody. And we're also trying to capture the DeFi users from the most advanced user today who is already participating to somebody who is a new user wanting to dip their toe into the world of DeFi. So that's kind of Atlas Network in a nutshell. And we can kind of dive into each specific component or feature that we offer. But, you know, that's basically our overview there.
Yes, this is sounds very interesting. And also this idea with the multi-pools, this is also can be very useful. How you came up to this idea and how you and why you choose the Cosmos ecosystem? Yeah, why your choice? Why not any other protocol?
Those are great questions. So, to give you background, our founders have a pretty diverse experience and skill set, you know, ranging from various industries. Two of our founders have extensive experience as traders. So Dreamcatcher, who is one of our founders, can kind of speak more to this, but with his experience in the TradFi world, we've identified that one of the things that was not really present as an option on a decentralized exchange was the idea of having a diversified portfolio if you wanted to maybe provide liquidity, but you didn't want to have single token risk. So obviously we talked about how providing the kind of traditional decentralized exchange uses their own token, which introduces volatility on both sides of the pair, both sides of the pool, with not just the exchange token, but then the token you actually are pairing against it. So we've eliminated obviously one side of that volatility by using USDC, but then you're still subject to the risk of that single token. So if you have the option to add a second, third, fourth token within that same pool, you're now spreading your risk in that individual pool. So it's a volatility and risk tolerance tool. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's any better or worse, but what it does is it diversifies that, adds another level of diversification. When we think about providing optionality for a user, it's really just another tool for them to have available to them.
Yes, this is nice. And more interesting tools in the Cosmos ecosystem. And maybe you can share with us your background, how you came up to these ideas and to this vision. Can we know more about your way in the crypto?
Yeah, we definitely have, we have four co-founders. We have different backgrounds leading up to how we got here. Like I said, we have some Wall Street experience, some experience with derivatives trading. My background is in the Air Force, in the U.S. Air Force. So I spent the last 21 years working on operations management, operations research. I'm a pilot by actual trade. But our backgrounds are very accretive in terms of problem solving. So we think about, you know, for example, one of our co-founders is a successful brick and mortar entrepreneur, and he's been able to identify problems and optimize them and get to the best solutions based on the feedback that's provided to him, right? And we have two of our founders who have extensive TradFi experience, who have seen the problems that have plagued DeFi over the last few years. And so we take some of the experiences and lessons learned throughout our own careers and mesh them together, and then essentially put them out for feedback within our own community to figure out what people are looking for. So I think we try to spend a lot of time listening to what the problems are out there and actually incorporating the feedback that is coming from our own community. And as we grow our community, we'll be able to get more and more feedback. So for us, I think that different backgrounds that we have coming together and optimizing our skill sets, I think is really going to help the project move forward. But we can't really move forward without continually growing our community and getting the.
And how is it to build the project on the such market? We understand that now the crypto in the not the best conditions. Yes, and it's we see how the prices goes down, and we have our hope that it will not be endless, and that soon we will see the rise of the market. And it's not easy to build a project in the such market conditions when a lot of people not so optimistic or something, but you don't stop to build the project. And this is very great. And this is what we are really impressed. Tell us about this experience of the building of the project on the such market.
Yeah, it is very true that, you know, being in a bear market is a very painful experience for everybody involved, right? When it comes to the users who have, you know, invested, whether it's their time and their funds, or whether it's the projects who are having a difficult time raising funds, or the various other challenges that you have to deal with in terms of market sentiment. For us, we feel that the bear market is an opportunity because it gives us the time and the lessons learned to actually build something that people want. And it's a little difficult when you're in a bull market, when everything is going up and things are moving fast and sentiment is so positive, to sort out the differences between what is actually going to sustain and what is not really a viable product. So I think that was an important takeaway from this most recent bull market, was that while everything was going up, it was difficult to figure out which things were going to survive. So now in the bear market, it's a little easier in our opinion to actually spot which projects are actually building for the sake of their communities and for the sake of providing a relevant service or product that's actually going to generate revenue and be sustainable, which projects have, you know, proper token distributions or tokenomics that are going to actually be something that maintains or provides value to the person who is owning or staking that token, for example. So we view this as an opportunity. We view it as the right time for us to be building. And we have been building basically since the beginning of this year. We officially started development in the first quarter, or started the second quarter of this year. So we are moving at a pretty good pace. We're a few months away from mainnet launch. We'll be conducting our audit. We'll be obviously going through our due diligence and having users do the testnet, get a chance to play with the user interface and give feedback on the user experience. But to kind of backtrack to your previous question about why we chose Cosmos SDK when we set out to build LS Network, it really comes down to the tool set and the optimism we have for the actual ecosystem. So number one, we really love the Cosmos SDK for what it provides for functionality and optionality. While we did retain some of the original modules from Cosmos SDK, we really love the fact that we could go in and build our own custom modules on top of it. So we have several custom modules that you'll see if you go to our GitHub. All of our code is open source, and you can see we've created very unique custom modules specific to LS Network for the functionality we need. We're also going to be one of the only chains that actually has a multiple Oracle sources. So we don't just rely on one Oracle for our pricing. We're actually going to use a minimum of three, and with the potential to add more, of course. So we love that we have the optionality with Cosmos SDK to build in such a way that we don't feel constrained. Secondly, what I think is the most exciting thing about Cosmos is IBC functionality. To be able to move assets from one chain to another seamlessly, since they all share that common code base, and now you start to see blockchains outside the Cosmos ecosystem start to adopt IBC. So really, for us, it made the most sense to build within the Cosmos ecosystem. And of course, now we're starting to see real avenues of liquidity start to come to Cosmos, right? Now with Circle offering USDC native via Noble blockchain, which we've been in communication with them and working with them closely as we build out our testnet. And then, of course, with Kava, with Tether bringing USDT to Kava. So we can already see that the framework is being laid out to expand liquidity into the Cosmos ecosystem and bring that foundation that's necessary for more and more TVL to come. So we're pretty excited about it. I think this is a 5 to 10 year evolution, but you can already see it start to take place.
Hey guys, I just wanted to add a quick thing about that. One thing I want to mention about Cosmos and the stack, the tech stack that Cosmos offers, you know, obviously it's one of the best out there, and it competes with some of the top ecosystems. What we really like about like the whole app chain thesis is that you're actually able to control both the protocol layer as well as the application layer, and that really excites us a lot, especially for a application such as DeFi, where you know there are a lot of different moving parts. And you want to cater your platform to specific needs of the end users, right? So being able to actually customize your modules, as Hesham mentioned, to at the protocol level helps you a lot in providing that premium user experience, which might not be available, let's say, if you were just a dApp building on an Ethereum or Solana, where we're not really controlling the application layer, so the protocol layer. To just give you some example of what we're doing, just to kind of like stop bots from front running large orders, we've actually built a module which essentially scrambles all the orders, sorts it out, and then matches the orders so that the bots cannot really figure out when their order will get executed. It'll all happen within the same block. But that's a really cool way we've come up with, in which we can avoid bots from front running. So that was just kind of give you an example how you can actually modify the protocol level to kind of fit the application that you're building on. So I just wanted to add that.
Yes, the topic about the front run is now really important and trendy. This is interesting about your solutions against the front run and how we can prevent it to bring to users the best experience.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know, on top of that, we also think of not just very specific features like that, but we also think about general UI UX, right? So when we are trying to build the premier user experience in the Cosmos ecosystem, we think about everything. We think about how you access the app. We think about, you know, the process of whether you're going to be accessing from your desktop or from a mobile. So we want to make sure that we capture all of those users. And then we want to capture all the different experience levels as well. So if you have a very advanced user who is going to be participating in margin trading, we should also be catering to the same, you know, to the user who is maybe dipping their toe into DeFi for the very first time and doesn't know how to create a wallet. So we want to be able to capture all of those different levels of experience. And that's something that's obviously going to be a big challenge, but we're working methodically and we're incorporating feedback to get that optimum user experience so that we can have a platform for everybody to actually participate in.
Yes, this is the very important to have the good tools, like the good applications to use the platform. What's about the some applications of Elis network? Will you have the some apps for iOS or Android, or how you want to give to the users the easiest way to use the Elis network?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. And, since it's a decentralized finance protocol, and it's essentially a financial product, there are certain regulatory hurdles when you're trying to build an application on iOS or Android. So initially, what we're trying to do is we will be offering a web application so that people can, access it directly from the browser. But we're also making it mobile friendly. So to have like a responsive mobile application through the web app. It will not be on the iOS store or the Android store at MVP, just because, as I mentioned, it's got some regulatory hurdles. We've talked about it with our legal. It seems like that might not be appropriate for MVP. But we are discussing that, and we'll see if kind of gets approved, et cetera, then we can definitely look into building an application on iOS and Android.
And how users, how community already can test something, or how they participate in the development? Because it's very interesting to participate since the beginning, and I already know that you have the testnet and many validators, but how other community members can join Elis network and to develop something to together, or maybe you have any ambassador project program, or maybe it will be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if somebody wants to get involved with Elis Network and participate, especially on the testnet side, Discord is a great place to start. So if you join our Discord, of course, on our website, elis.network, we also have opened up our whitelist or a wait list for our web app once it rolls out. So you can sign up now. We've actually had several hundred people already sign up, and we just opened it, I think 1 to 2 weeks ago. So we're pretty excited about the turnout that we have so far for people who are interested in using our web app. So we encourage everybody to go on elis.network, check out our website, sign up to be waitlisted to get on the wait list for the web app. And of course, we're still accepting new validators. So anybody who wants to be a validator can join our Discord and request access with us. And as we build out our community and our DAO, we'll be looking for participation for people to bring their ideas and bring their proposals for how we're going to essentially have our community set up prior to mainnet launch. So definitely encourage everybody to join our Discord and check out our website. And we're always available. So if you need to contact us, whether it be on Discord or here on Twitter, or we also have our email address, team@elis.network. One of us will be able to respond to you there. But the important thing is, as we do want to grow our community, we do want people participating in the testnet phase. We want to make sure this product is absolutely what people are looking for. And that feedback loop is so important to us. So when you do get involved and you provide what you're looking for in a DeFi platform, and when you do actually get to play with the web app and provide your actual, this is what I liked about it, this is what could be improved, those are the things we really want to have nailed down before we go mainnet launch. And we want it to be something everybody's proud of. So we really do encourage that participation.
Great. This is the, I think, the strongest side of the Cosmos ecosystem. This is the community. And now question about our not the strongest side. It will be the hard question. It's the question about the liquidity. Yes, as the for the most of the DeFi projects, the liquidity, it's the one of the main important questions. Pretty sad that now Cosmos ecosystem not on the top by the liquidity, but you have several interesting solutions for this. Tell us about these solutions for the liquidity in the Elis network, in the Cosmos ecosystem, in the DeFi.
Right. Yeah. Hashim, you want to take it or you want me to do it?
Oh, I was just going to mention that really, you know, just very, very briefly, that I'm not sure that we have a liquidity problem. I think we have a tokenomics problem within the ecosystem. That's all I will mention. I can elaborate on that later, but I'll pass it to Dreamcatcher.
That's actually a great question about liquidity, because I do agree that Cosmos, compared to the other ecosystems, is suffering a little bit from liquidity exit, I would say, from the ecosystem. But that, again, you know, it's a lot of it is to do with the fact that tokens across the ecosystem have performed poorly. A lot of the tokens have actually been paired with one predominant DEX token across the ecosystem. And when that one predominant inflationary DEX token actually goes down, then the rest of the tokens and the assets actually also go down with it, because they're all paired with it within the AMM. So there are a lot of different things which are happening within the Cosmos ecosystem, which is kind of interesting, which is affecting liquidity. But what I would say is that I'm actually pretty excited, even though right now it might seem that, you know, liquidity is exiting the ecosystem, and, you know, like TVLs are going down across different DeFi platforms. But as Hesha mentioned, there are actually a bunch of new developments which have happened within the ecosystem, which are pretty positive and exciting, such as native USDC coming to Cosmos via Noble. You've got USDT coming through Kava. You've got DYDX coming on very soon, probably launching probably next month, I'm assuming, which will hopefully bring a decent amount of liquidity from the ETH ecosystem. You have MetaMask Snap, which just got integrated with Cosmos, and it is actually live right now. One thing to kind of remember is that a lot of the Ethereum whales are very used to using MetaMask. And generally speaking, if you get comfortable with a certain wallet, you don't tend to move away from that. So bringing MetaMask into Cosmos is actually a much bigger deal than a lot of people think, because it's the wallet connectivity which would bring those guys onto our ecosystem. And finally, LSDs, which is now become, it's one way to actually increase liquidity in these different protocols. A lot of the staked assets were locked with nothing really happening to them, and they were just securing the network. But now with LSD Live and Stride doing really well in trying to increase the liquidity of these liquid staking derivatives, I personally believe that there will be a lot more impact from all these different things which are happening within the ecosystem, and will bring more liquidity. As far as Ellis is concerned, we are building a self-sustaining ecosystem to not just have traders thrive on it and execute their trade smoothly, but we are also very diligently designed the platform to bring more liquidity providers onto our DEX. I call it the three pillars of Ellis Network. One of the pillars is just a simple deposits of USDC, where any Web2 guy or a traditional finance guy who doesn't really want to have any exposure to crypto but still wants to come and experience DeFi can come in and deposit their USDC and earn some yield on that. Now, that yield is actually being created from the second pillar, which is essentially liquidity leverage yield farming. So a more advanced user, a more native crypto user who understands DeFi and understands yield farming is going to come in, bring some collateral, and then be able to borrow the USDC deposits on leverage and then provide liquidity, so that actually increases, because of leverage, that brings a better income and better return on your investment to that particular user. And then the third pillar is essentially margin trading, which brings all of this together, because it's that one product which is essentially generating a decent amount of margin interest fees, trading fees, bridging fees, et cetera, which if you think about it, the synergy between these three pillars is going to create that self-sustainability from a revenue perspective as well as from a liquidity perspective. It's almost like one feeds into the other, and then the second feeds into the third, and the third feeds into the first. So if you think about it, it's almost like a circular loop. You get the catalyst one time, and then it kind of like, it's almost like automated from that perspective. So at least that's what we're trying to do, to create that self-sustaining ecosystem with non-inflationary yield, real yields coming from fees, and then that being revenue shared across different products and different participants on the network, such as liquidity providers, takers, and then the margin traders can enjoy that liquidity. So that's how we are planning to build liquidity and increase it.
Yes, this was very interesting moment about our Web2 friends, about our traditional finance. Yes, and we are, and not only we are waiting when the traditional finance will come to the Web3. Also, they are looking for the many different possibilities to join decentralized financials and they speak a lot about the regulation and for what they need regulation, of course, to start to participate in our decentralized economics. So what's your vision of bringing traditional finance to the DeFi? How you think, how fast it will be when we will see traditional finance in the crypto market?
So I think that this is one of the biggest challenges kind of as an entire industry on how we're going to onboard more people into the ecosystem. But it is a 5, 10, 15 year evolution. So we can't realistically expect everybody to show up this year or next year, but what we can do is lay the foundation through trust and transparency. I think the reason people are still not willing to jump in is because they do see some of the recent issues that have happened in the DeFi world, whether it be a bad actor, whether it be some sort of hack, whether it be the high inflation chains that are essentially just causing people to suffer massive impermanent loss or massive dilution. So they see all these examples of how DeFi goes wrong, but they're not seeing very many examples of how DeFi is going right. So our job at LS Network is to make sure DeFi goes right. And so the version of DeFi that we see, that our vision is that sustainable model that Dreamcatcher talked about, which is, I want to be able to come and bring in my USDC and essentially use it like a savings account. I want to earn a yield on that USDC, and that's all the risk I'm willing to take. Okay, that user, we want to make sure we have something to offer that user. I have an advanced user who wants to margin trade, who wants to use leverage to try to maximize their gains. Okay, they're aware of the risks that are involved. We want to offer a product for them to use too. So we want to take that whole spectrum of risk tolerances and people wanting to achieve their financial goals using various risk tolerances. And the only way that they're even going to entertain the idea of taking that risk is if they feel or they can be confident that the platform they're interacting with is safe, secure, trustworthy, and not dilutive, right? So I think as you see this new era of DeFi, you're going to start to see projects get much more serious about their token distributions or their tokenomics, right? So you're not going to see these massive inflationary chains with, you know, multi-billion token supplies that continue to mint and mint and mint, because everybody is seeing what's happening there. And they essentially say, I don't want to be a part of that because there's no way that I could leave my assets there for 5 years. So we want to be, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to start building that foundation of trust and transparency, responsible, sustainable tokenomics, good leadership, excellent capital management, and we're going to run it exactly like a Fortune 500 business, right? We're not going to be we're not going to be reckless with our users. We're going to be very, very responsible. And when they see that, that's kind of the green light for people to start coming. So we're willing to play the long game here. We're willing to stay with this for many years. And so that is, I think, the foundation that needs to be laid. And when you start to see that mainstream adoption, typical with any cycle, right? Whether it was the internet, 25 years ago, or whether it was the transition to Web 2, it was usually a slow adoption in the beginning. You have maybe your kind of advanced users wanting to come in the beginning, but the mainstream didn't follow for a few years after that. So that's kind of the cycle we're observing now as well.
Yes, this is a very good experience, and the good and the bad experience, for example, with the airdrops, and when we see how the spreading a huge amount of the tokens can kill the economics of the project and so on. But from other side, airdrops was the very good example how we can attract a big amount of the users to the different projects. What's your vision about the airdrops and what's your vision to attract, to involve the community to the Alice network? What's your plans of the spreading information about Alice network among the community and users from other protocols?
So that's such a cool discussion about airdrops. You know, we've had that internally from like the day one, since we kind of like imagine Alice and what Alice network needs to be. We have different theories, and you know, we've done a lot of statistical analysis on airdrops, and we are still kind of fluid. We've not finalized about airdrops, and you know, whether we will include airdrops in our token distribution. But I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, the kind of research that we've done, and we've kind of like basically figured out that airdrops are fantastic during the bull market. Because it attracts a lot of users, as you mentioned. It attracts people from different ecosystems. It gets new liquidity, and people come in and use the platform after they kind of get the airdrop and kind of get used to it. So it's fantastic during the bull market. In a bear market, it's actually extremely opposite and very negative for the protocol, because a lot of the users, not really users, but a lot of the crypto investors are underwater on their overall portfolio. So they're basically trying to like break even by any way possible, and they are just airdrop hunting. So they're not necessarily looking for a place to kind of like explore or to trade or to gain exposure. It's more like, okay, you know what, where can I get some freebies and so that I can kind of like, you know, get back to the surface as far as my portfolio is concerned. So we've seen that happen with a bunch of protocols who've given any kind of big airdrops during the bear market, and they have just been like, just been dumped right away. In fact, statistically speaking, like 70 to 90% of the airdrops have just been dumped without kind of getting that user base that you would have otherwise expected from such kind of an airdrop. But we have other ideas around bringing more users. I think you captured a little bit of that essence. I think education is very, very important. Marketing, going to different ecosystems and gaining exposure to various ecosystems, and not just staying within Cosmos, because our theory is that over the next 3 to 5 years, users are not going to really care about whether they are within the Cosmos ecosystem or their Ethereum or Solana or Cardano or Polkadot. Assets and liquidity is going to flow very fluidly across like different ecosystems, and users will not even know where which ecosystem they're actually performing transactions on. So that is why I think it's more important to not just be kind of like not just like cater to one community, but to actually get exposure to different ecosystems, so that when you get that traction and momentum, you have liquidity flowing from everywhere into your platform and into your ecosystem. We've chosen Cosmos Tech because we believe that it is the best tech stack out there. It is solving a big problem, scalability, not just vertical, but parallel horizontal scalability as well through IBC. And I think that it's already the gold standard of interoperability. And I think that over time, and that's almost like a proven model, because you're seeing a lot of different ecosystems actually come and connect with IBC. Composable is doing such a great job. They just connected Polkadot and Kusama to Cosmos via IBC. I was just reading a thread today that they're trying to bring Ethereum to IBC. I mean, if Ethereum is directly connected through Lite clients, I mean, it's a game changer, right? Because a big problem right now is bridging. And we all know that there's a lot of vulnerability in any kind of like bridging solution. And IBC, on the other hand, has been around for almost two years, and we've not seen a single attack or hack. And you know, all of like 2022, we had like over a billion and a quarter in hacks, I believe. And then of that, like 800 million of that was come from bridging solutions. So you can see that, you know, bridges in general are extremely vulnerable, but IBC has really taken the lead and has just built a fantastic bridging solution, which we feel that a lot of different ecosystems are noticing, and they will come to it. They're already coming to it. So yeah, so that's what we're thinking. We think that, you know, exposure is important to bring more users in from different ecosystems, from Web2, TradFi, and education. I think, you know, once we kind of like launch our MVP, and as we're doing it, we want to educate the folks. There will be a lot of stress within Ellis to make sure that, you know, we are giving the right education, the right documentation, the right flow, and making it very simple and easy, as well as safe and secure for people to come in and experience DeFi. You know, the technology is fantastic, right? It is just about how people can adopt to that technology. There are a lot of folks out there who want to experience DeFi. They just don't know how to do it, or they find it really tough to understand wallets. They find it very tough to remember seed phrases. They find it very tough to, like, you know, what the hell is all this thing about liquidity and adding liquidity and managing pools and all that stuff? It's not easy. And, you know, you might think that we've been in this sphere for a while, and it's like, you know, like really easy for all of us. But if you go and talk to 95% of the folks out there, they'll have no fucking clue about what we're talking about. So what Ellis is trying to do is trying to make that transition simple. So onboarding is going to be very simple. You don't have to create your own wallets. You can come in, use your email or social account to come in and log into Ellis, and everything's happening in the background. The wallet is being created, etc. And so, like, for a Web2 guy or a TradFi guy, it's an easy onboarding process. Same thing with like on ramp and off ramp. Like, you know, people have found it very difficult to bring money onto DeFi platform because they have to jump a lot of different hoops, right? They have to first, you know, get approval on their bank accounts, then like have to go through a centralized exchange, then have to go through maybe like a MetaMask, then from MetaMask, then like bridge it to like some Cosmos wallet, and then bring it into our ecosystem. So there are a lot of different hoops. We're trying to solve that and like do it with one click. We're actually working with Noble very closely, in which with one click of a button on Ellis, on the Ellis web app, you can use your credit card or your bank account to just buy Bitcoin or Ethereum, for example. And usually a lot of times, you know, native or non-native users who come into that space don't want to experience with, like, you know, some random shitty assets. They want to like buy Bitcoin and Ethereum and Ellis or Atom maybe. But at Ellis, they will be able to do that with one click of a button. So we're just trying to make everything easy and simple. And at the same time, if you look at a branding or, you know, our UI so far, you know, look at a website, you know, look at different things that we're offering, you'll see that, you know, we have a very legitimate and professional looking website, because that is important to build that trust and confidence and feel safe and secure to bring money onto the platform. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yes, this is very great. And this is very interesting that you already have a very good interactions and very good connections, for example, with Noble. But can you tell us about your other friends in the Cosmos ecosystem, other projects with whom you have a good relations, with whom you interact, who will support or participate in the Ellis network? You already tell about Noble, but something about other projects in the Cosmos ecosystem, or maybe in other protocols?
Yeah, we're building out partnerships with various protocols right now. One of our most notable partnerships is with Babylon. So I think just about everyone here is probably familiar with what Babylon does, but they're attempting to bring Bitcoin security to the Cosmos ecosystem. So we're pretty excited to be a partner with them. We are currently participating in their phase one, and they're going to be rolling out their phase two testnet. So that brings a layer of security by taking snapshots of our blockchain and essentially including them as Bitcoin transactions. So they get included on the Bitcoin ledger. It's a very cool concept. What it ultimately will end up allowing in the future is having that trust and transparency that can be verified on Bitcoin, which allows your bonding periods in the Cosmos ecosystem to be reduced. So we're going to launch right now, currently in testnet. We have a 14-day unbonding period, but with this partnership with Babylon will allow us to consider reducing the bonding period even further. So that's kind of one of our more prominent partnerships. Obviously, as Dreamcatcher mentioned, we're also working very, very closely with Noble Chain, and we're continuing to also meet with several other partners. We're also currently in talks with Jackal right now to investigate their storage plans, because we're looking at various decentralized storage options such as Arweave. But we've met with the team at Jackal multiple times now. We're having very positive discussions with them, and so we might be exploring some of their storage tools for our team for internal use as well as external use. And of course, we're continuing to also engage other chains like who have some credential options that we may be looking at. And then we're working with other vendors like Web3 Auth. We'll be working with EcoStake to do their to make sure that we're integrated in their Restake app. And we're also speaking with Yieldmos as well, because as Yieldmos will be offering their version of restaking on a user's behalf. So we're pretty excited as we continue to build out our relationships with other chains. We think that the future is less about competition and more about collaboration. So when you think about how we move forward together, trying to essentially take market share from somebody else or trying to take the users away from one community and bring them to your community is not really a recipe for success. What really is a recipe for success is having your protocol communicate correctly with another protocol so that the user can have a full ecosystem that they can engage with seamlessly and without friction. So that's kind of the vision that we have, and we'll continue to explore those partnerships. And anybody who's interested in a partnership with us, please do get in touch with us, as we're always open to having those discussions with you.
We're also integrating or really partnering with some of the wallets, like, you know, Kepler, Leap, Cosmos Station, and then we're hoping to bring MetaMask Snaps as well. So we've been talking to all those teams quite a bit, as well as we've talked or trying to partner with some of the audit guys, because, you know, auditing is quite important for a financial product. So we talked to guys like, you know, Hallborn and Zurich and and Hacken and Safer, and, you know, we're trying to just figure out who we can partner with so that, you know, we can have that ongoing relationship. Because, you know, as I said, it's a financial product, and there will be upgrades, there will be new features added. So we want to have guys on with us who can go on with us on this journey. So yeah, we're definitely looking at a ton of different partnerships. I was talking to some guys on the EVM side recently, and there is a privacy layer 2 solution they're about to launch recently. And they were looking to partner to see how we can kind of like bring our products to their chain. And so there's definitely some cross ecosystem collab as well. And maybe not at the MVP stage, but we are looking to see how we can perhaps have maybe Solidity devs come in and build the apps on Ellis and use the products that Ellis offers and some of the protocol level features that Ellis offers, as well as the liquidity on Ellis. So I think over the next few years, there will be a decent amount of collaboration between ecosystems. As I said, assets are going to transfer seamlessly, liquidity is going to flow very seamlessly, and ecosystems are going to get connected. There is no two ways about that. So that is why we're not just focusing just within the Cosmos ecosystem. We're already trying to collaborate with others to see how we can integrate different ecosystems. and bring those the apps onto Elements as well.
Yes, yes. This cooperation is a very strong side of the Cosmos ecosystem. And of course, the future of the Internet of the blockchains is for the several different protocols. And of course, the future of the Web3 will be built on the many different protocols. And we are really glad that the IBC protocol will be one of the one of the main protocols of this interchain connection and interchain ecosystem. So one of the last questions from our side, maybe also some people who are participate now in the Twitter space want to ask the question, feel free to raise your hand. We will give you the speaker role and you will able to ask any questions right now online. But from our side, this is the question about your vision of this interchain ecosystem, when we will connect not only Cosmos-based chains, but also when, as you already mentioned, the Babylon that bring us Bitcoin connections and a lot of connections with the EVM protocols and so on. So how you see this future of the interchain ecosystem where a lot of different separated networks connected with the IBC protocol, with the Substrate, with EVM and so on, and how you see your role in this future of the interchain ecosystem?
We think that we'll always be able to be in a position to upgrade to whatever the latest technology will allow for. I think the biggest issues that we see, obviously, when it comes to something like bridging is the security aspect, because we've had so many problems with bridges being hacked or being manipulated. As we've seen in the past, the real issues that we see with bridges right now are the tokens are not actually physically coming across a bridge, right? They're essentially going into one, essentially being parked somewhere, and then another representation of that token is then being created on the other chain. So what ends up happening is that token that's being stored, somebody who's trying to go after it can basically hack the chain by getting access to those tokens. You know, kind of put that in a very simple terms. So the issue that we see with bridging is the structure of bridging is maybe something that needs to be looked at. So when we saw the way that Circle's doing it with bringing native USDC, we think that that's actually a really, really excellent design. The way that USDC doesn't actually come across a bridge, but it actually gets minted and burned. So if USDC is going to come from one chain, it actually comes through Circle itself. That USDC gets burned and it gets minted on the new chain. That is essentially fail-safe, right? It cannot be hacked because it's gone. So we think that those types of technologies, as they continue to mature, as we continue to figure out, you know, the most secure ways to have bridging, the problem kind of sorts itself out as we go into this multi-chain, interoperability world that we're going into. The big problems, of course, are along the way, you cannot risk losing funds. So, you know, they say a very common statement is there are two places where developers can't get things wrong. One of them is healthcare and the other is finance, right? You can never have a screw up when it comes to coding with those two things. You can have a screw up when it comes to a gaming network. You can have a screw up when it comes to a streaming network, et cetera, but you can't afford to make a mistake when it comes to finance and healthcare. So the building has to be methodical. It has to be very thoughtful, has to be deliberate and slow, it has to be audited and open source. So we're in a position where we'll be able to capture any of those new technologies as they roll out. And that's the important part, that we're not going to try to stick to the previous generation's way of doing things just because that's how it started. We're always going to be thinking forward on how to capture the newest technologies.
Yes, this is great. This is very interesting. And we are really glad that our future will be with Elise Network and with so many interesting and cool projects that trying to bring for the users so many easy solutions. And you are really in the front of the mass adoption. I think that we already have this meet for the 1 hour. Maybe you have some last message last for the people who will listen us in the record.
We actually have Mitchell, who's one of the co-founders here as well. So maybe he can give a last few thoughts before we close the space. If Mitchell wants to come over.
Yes, we will glad to give the speaker role. What's the name of the user? Please raise hand and I will give the speaker role.
Yep, it's just Mitchell. He's right there, I think.
Oh.
Maybe he's off right now. Haitian, do you want to just conclude it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you so much to the Cosmos ecosystem team for your time today and for the listeners on this space and for those who will be tuning in after. We really appreciate your support. It's been really fascinating and really amazing as we started this journey this year to see the outpouring of support and all the people coming in, providing their ideas, providing all their different methods of support, whether it be from the infrastructure side, whether it be from the validators or developers, designers, etc. We're incredibly grateful for everybody who's been here with us. We're excited to grow the community because together we have the ability to leverage those ideas and get the best practices and the best ideas out there to execute our vision. So we're very grateful for that. We, along the way, obviously, in a bear market, we will always see struggles and we'll always see, maybe some chains that don't quite make it. But that should never be a reason to become discouraged about the optimism that we should have for the actual industry that we're in, right? For the future of Web3. Failure is part of the process. And a lot of chains that don't make it doesn't mean that the few chains who are building something serious or the ones that actually have a path to revenue generation should be ignored or should be minimized, right? So I encourage everybody to keep that kind of in their minds, that don't be afraid necessarily of the failure aspect or of the bear market, getting sentiment to a point where people feel that there's no point of return, because that is what bear markets are. So again, that optimism that this is going to be a much, much more stable, much more optimistic industry over the next 5-10 years. I think that's the important thing to kind of keep focused on. So I definitely appreciate everybody's time today and look forward to speaking with everybody more.
Thank you. Thank you for such bright and cool words. We will spread the information about Elise Network more and more across the all Cosmos ecosystem, because I'm pretty sure that we need more such cool and responsible projects as Elise Network. This is so nice to have you here. And thank you for your time. Thank you for your enthusiasm and thank you for building something very interesting on the Cosmos ecosystem. And thank you, friends, for everybody who was today with us online. And of course, thank you for all people who is listening us in the record. This is our first meet with Elise Network, but not the last meet with the Elise Network. As soon as Elise Network will have some updates, we will make a new meet with them to share with you the information, to share with you the process of the development, because it's always very interesting.
Yeah, I also wanted to say thank you so much for hosting. This has been awesome. Sometimes it's, 8 to 10 people. Sometimes it's 80 to 100. The bottom line is this, I hear the talk about market, if it's a bear market or a bull market, and that's absolutely important. But we talk about this frequently, is if it's a really good product and it's made for the people, it's not necessarily reliant on the bear or the bull. To be successful. What's successful is if people use it, and what's successful if people see is it an alternate to TradFi. So, you know, I don't know if the guy said this, but every day when we're doing something, we look at it and we say, will we use this ourselves and will we recommend it to our family? That's our mantra. So I know we're short on time, so I'm going to leave you there. Just know when we're building this for our family. And you guys are our family. So thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for this bright words. Thank you very much. See you soon. It was very, very cool to speak with you. Bye bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye bye. Bye bye.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web 3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebidites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here rewiring features. More critical thinking, huh? Less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shit. Coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terror Spaces.